So this is Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, the traditional tomb of Jesus, which has now got that enclosure built around it, and then the Church of Holy Sepulchre, which was first built in the 300s, built around that. And so that is what will be happening today around Holy Sepulchre. Within that structure is the remains of the cave that was the tomb, tradition says. And there's two parts to that. There's a kind of entryway, and then you go into the tomb, which has got this, not the slab that Jesus would have laid on, but a slab that a body would have laid on, which was put in there later. So you can tell that's the Catholic gig, because they've got all the hats of the Orthodox and the Coptics wear. They'll be celebrating here in a few weeks' time. They're on a slightly different calendar. Next one. So may the words I speak and the words we hear be your words of life to us, our God. Amen. Our friend died this week. She had cancer for a while, but she wouldn't let that define her. She never fought it. She said, everyone dies of something, I'm going to die of cancer. And she was far too busy living life to have time to fight cancer. So she and cancer danced for the last few years. And sometimes cancer led, and sometimes she led. But all the while, she lived life to the maximum. She nearly died in December when she fell off her e-bike while cycling in the redwoods in Rotorua with her husband and Bonnie and I, and she ruptured one of her tumours. Not a good thing if you're on blood thinners. And she was supposed to die that night, so we all badly said goodbye to each other, not really quite believing what was happening. But she didn't die, much to everyone's surprise. She just had too much life left in her. Last year she got a tattoo celebrating her gifted time. The gifted time of seeing two of her children marry, the gifted time of meeting a grandson, the gifted time of celebrating her daughter's 30th birthday with her in Greece. And she was still planning trips right up to the end, planning to cycle the Camino and go for walks in Tasmania. But on Tuesday she posted that she was near the end. She was grateful for her life. She was very grateful for her family and her friends that had journeyed with her over these last few years. And she was at peace with its end. And in a very un-Liz-like fashion, she died peacefully and quietly and very undramatically a few hours later, to everyone's surprise. She is with God now. I'm utterly confident of that. Confident of that because of why we gather here today, because of the resurrection. That is what today is all about. But I have to say, I have no idea what that means. I have no idea what it looks like to be with God. I've heard people stand here and talk about how their loved ones are now in heaven having a gin and tonic or a pint of beer with those who've gone before them. And I keep thinking, I hope not. I hope we just don't keep living what we've been living for the last how many years. I hope it's something entirely different. I don't know what it will look like. And I don't need to know. Because I can trust God for that. That's what today is all about. And so, because of Jesus' resurrection and the promise that it holds, I know that Liz has been swallowed in God's life. I trust God for all of that, despite not knowing. But the story we've heard today is bigger than Liz or me. It's bigger than any of us. It's bigger than she or I or any of us getting into heaven, if that's what being swallowed by God's life is. The biblical story, the whole story of what's held in the Bible, isn't about you and me getting into heaven. It's about God's covenantal faithfulness to this world, to the restoration of humanity, and humanity joining God in the ongoing work of the renewal of creation. Jesus' death is more than Jesus dying on a cross for me and my sins. It is about that, but it's more than that. It is God dying on a cross, showing us all where our greed and our selfishness, our lust for power, our blindness, all of that and more, where all that leads to, it always leads to the cross. It's God dying on a cross, allowing the powers of death to think that they had won. But the resurrection breaks those powers. It defeats death. It invites us into another way. John is clear, in dying on a cross, Jesus is glorified. Jesus says that in his teaching about the upcoming crucifixion again and again. When he is lifted up, he will be glorified. And in dying on a cross, Jesus shows us the nature of God, the nature of God's life, the nature of God's love for this world, the nature of God's commitment to this world. And God would not be held in death. When all seemed lost, God's life prevails. So each time we celebrate the resurrection, we are invited to remember that God's life prevails. When all seems lost, when we could too easily give into despair and anger, when we feel powerless, when we have lost all hope, we are reminded that God's love and life will prevail. And I find hope in that. And I need that. There are times in my life that I cannot find any hope in any way of moving forward. At that moment, I'm invited to trust God in all that. And I can do that. I can trust God. But today, we did hear a big story. But it wasn't a cosmic story. It was a small story with cosmic consequences. It was a story of Mary. And she is one of the big people in the Bible. And in this story today, we heard about how she had watched her friend die. A humiliating, horrific, degrading death. And as she'd watched Jesus die, she'd watched her hopes for herself and for her people die with her. It was like she had died too. So as we hear her story today, we hear her swallowed in grief, outrage, powerlessness, and despair. She went to weep and to grieve as the night let go and the dawn emerged. There's no anointing oils in John's Gospel. Jesus is anointed by Joseph Arimathea and Nicodemus when he's laid in the tomb. Mary simply goes to the tomb. A simple act of being in the place where her friend lay, where her hopes and her life lay shredded, dead. But between the tears, she finds an empty tomb. And after the men have come and gone, she meets Jesus. And he's not all white and shiny. We always show him white and shiny. Usually have an icon of him looking all white and shiny. But one of the people I read pointed out that actually She thinks he's a gardener. How many white and shiny gardens do you know? They usually have very dirty hands and a fair amount of dirt on their clothes. He's covered with life's messiness. The resurrected Jesus meets her in her darkest, blackest moment, in her moment of death, and it changes everything. She is made new. She is resurrected too. She becomes the first person to proclaim the gospel. And she proclaims the gospel to the men. She is a significant person in the story. A few hundred years later, a pope tried to kind of dismiss her and said that she'd been a prostitute. But there is no evidence of that in the Bible. That's just some pope trying to say these women should be back in their place. Us men, particularly me, should be at the top. Because Mary was important. She is mentioned in every single version of the Gospels. Some of the disciples don't get that, and they were blokes. And so she proclaims to the men, "I have seen the Lord." And she is remembered for her living out the resurrection. And we are all invited to live resurrected lives with her. In her book Pastrix by Nadia Boltz-Weber, she describes resurrection life as new, messy life. She says, "God is interested in making me new, and new is not perfect." In the Easter story itself, new is often messy. New looks like recovering alcoholics and reconciliation between family members who don't actually deserve it. New looks like every time I admit I am wrong and every time I don't mention it when I am right. New is every fresh start, every act of forgiveness, and every moment of letting go of what we thought we couldn't live without, and then somehow living without it anyway. New is the thing we never see coming, never even hope for, but ends up being the thing we needed all along. It happens to all of us. God simply keeps bending down into the dirt of humanity and resurrecting us from the graves we dig ourselves through our violence, our lies, our arrogance, and our addictions. And God keeps loving us back to life over and over and over again. Mary knew that, all that, and more. She had seen the Lord. And she invites you and me to live that life too, in the messiness of our everyday life, to be made new again and again and again, living resurrected lives. Liz lived a resurrected life all through her time with cancer. She lived life to the maximum. And she died, still living that resurrection life. So, even when we are lost in death, we are invited to see the Lord and to live resurrection lives. And I'm willing to trust God for that too. So this Easter, what are we invited to trust God for? What are you invited to trust God for? I invite you to turn around and have a conversation with the people around you. And then in a moment, I will tell you what to do with your pipe cleaners and paper.